Imagine below the horizon. This is Next Step 372. We'll be looking at the forgotten name of Jesus, the forgotten message of love, Ezekiel and the forgotten sin of Sodom, as we look into some more on same-sex marriages, as well as the His Holiness Project. And we'll be talking about connecting the dots in the universal network. Because this is Father Voskin, priest of the Armenian Church, inviting you to take the next step.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Voskin. Here, Father Voskin provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course, the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, so good to have you with us today, recording from the Glendale studio. Beautiful day here in Southern California. Just got back from a hike. Did you see those pictures I posted up on Facebook? Wow, what a beautiful sunset we saw. You know, you don't get too many of those days here in Southern California where you could see from one side to the other, especially during the summer, during the smog season. Yeah, I guess smog season isn't a defined season. It's always happening. But just a beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous night. We went hiking up at Griffith Park in a small group of us. It was a meditative walk. You could see all the way out to the ocean. If you got a chance to look at those pictures, we had a beautiful sunset and rested up, ready to come to you. I want to start off this morning with, well, just to tell you that I'm getting sick and tired of people hijacking Christianity. You know, we were at, a couple nights ago, my sons and I, we went to Lacey Park over here. It's a public park, and we were walking just, again, it was another sunset moment, you know. And you're saying, what is this guy doing just looking at sunsets? Hey, why not, you know? Anyway, I was with two of my boys, and we were walking, and there was a statue there. It was a statue dedicated to the military, to those people who had lost their lives in service to this country. And they had the emblems of all branches of the United States military, the Marines, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force. And on this monument, there was names of people who had lost their lives. And there was this giant statue. It was a life-size soldier kneeling down in front of this statue. And in front of him were the words of Christ. It says, "Greater love has no man than this, to lay down his life for his friends." Jesus Christ. Who said that? Jesus Christ. But there's no mention of that. It's just, all of a sudden, it's just words standing up there on this monument. And I thought to myself, this is kind of odd, you know. If it was anybody else, I mean, certainly if it was a contemporary figure, you know, if somebody else said it today, if Jack Kennedy said it, for instance, president from 1960s, oh, yeah, we would credit it. But for some reason, this sentence, this really heartfelt sentiment, that there is no greater love than this, than to lay your life down for your friends. It was not attributed to Jesus Christ. It wasn't attributed to anybody. And I guess if you know who it is, then you know what it is. But there's a fear. There's a fear of labeling or putting down Christ. And I've noticed this for several years. We talk about peace when the greatest advocate for peace was Jesus Christ. And yet, you're always a little bit hesitant on using his name. People don't use his name. For instance, they'll quote Gandhi. They'll quote Martin Luther King, who was a minister of Christ's gospel. But when it comes down to Christ himself saying something, people shy away. People shy away from saying Jesus Christ. And you know what? I think that because Christianity has been hijacked by some people, and I felt this really, really strong this week because I was asked to prepare a statement and prepare something. As you know, here in the United States, a couple weeks ago, the Supreme Court made a ruling about homosexual marriages, that states could not discriminate against same-sex couples who wanted to enter into marriage. And I did a show on that. If you go back a couple sessions of The Next Step, you know my feelings. And in fact, a couple years back in 2013, the Supreme Court had said that basically that same-sex couple had the rights, basically had the same rights. In other words, there's legal issues, right, as far as inheritance. There's legal issues as far as health care and so on. And so the Supreme Court had made a ruling. And again, back then, Next Step, I had prepared a few different scenarios and discussion. And if you remember back then, those of you who have been our longtime listeners, there was quite a bit of interaction and dialogue, and a healthy dialogue, I have to say about that too. But I do a show for the Western Diocese. It's called Armenian Christianity Today. It's a video show, and it appears on one of the networks over here. And it's got a pretty big following. And I remember I came out with a statement in that show at that time, and it was pulled. It was pulled by the diocese. It wasn't allowed to be put on. Now, yeah, of course, you can see it on our YouTube channel. And it's nothing controversial, but people get bent out of shape about these kind of things rather than engaging in a healthy dialogue. And so I was invited to share some comments about it for a clergy conference. And I did due diligence. Yes, I did do my work. I did my homework coming up with the statements of the Roman Catholic Church, the Episcopal Church, the Orthodox Church. And also, I did find a beautiful writing from Archbishop Schnork Kalustian of blessed memory about marriage. And it was so appropriate, and I had put that down too, and basically the one line that, you know, marriage in the Armenian Church is a sacrament, and as a sacrament, it is reserved for the union of one man and one woman. And now, this isn't a judgment statement, this is just a definition, that holy matrimony, this is what it means. Well, at this meeting yesterday, I mean, all of a sudden, we got into some Bible quotes. And, you know, the Bible says this and the Bible says that. One of the other clergymen got up and, in fact, even said that, you know, California had voted against it. Yeah, against same-sex marriages. Okay, well, I guess at some point, Mississippi and Alabama probably voted against integration, right? I guess at some point people voted against abolitionists. I don't know what to say. Okay, yeah, people vote. Times do change. Times do change, and things do change. And so all of a sudden I was hit with a bunch of Bible quotes. And, you know, in the Bible it says this. Hey, yeah, we know what it says in the Bible, okay? But, you know, we've got to start understanding that. And this is really true in Armodoxy. If you really study Armodoxy, what our Armenian Church is all about, it's a holistic approach. Don't forget that up until a couple hundred years ago, the Bible wasn't in everyone's hands. It's never been meant to be this instrument of individual interpretation. Yeah, I know. That gets people all wound up. Yeah, Bible, you know, everybody gets a Bible, you know, when you graduate Sunday school, when you get baptized, oh, they give you a nice one, a leather-bound Bible, you know, with the red letters in it. Yeah, that's nice. But, you know, everybody gets to read it and everybody gets to interpret it the way they want to. Well, you got to remember that the Bible is an instrument of the church. Before there was a Bible, I know this is like sacred territory over here. Before there was a Bible, there was a church, wasn't there? Absolutely. Jesus establishes his church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that church was led without a Bible. It was led by who? Jesus Christ. Orthodoxy is a faith that is led by Jesus Christ. Yes, we use the Bible is the breath of God. We do believe that, yes. The breath of God coming to us. But you got to be very, very careful. And I thought of this one quote because I think we can all agree upon this. But I want to share with you this one little passage that I think we've used so much in His Shoes. It is actually one of the pillars of In His Shoes. It's at the foundation of In His Shoes. It's the quote about the final judgment. And it comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25. And what I want to do right now, you've heard it, and I'm gonna share it with you, but I want to tell you the danger when we start taking these things literally, because this is what happens, okay? Let's read this quote. Now, this follows the parable of the 10 maidens, and it comes right afterwards. It says, when the Son of Man, this is Jesus talking, when Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Now, here's a visualization, okay? The sheep are what it's about, why the shepherd is there. And there are goats in the mix. Okay, you're going to get rid of the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Okay, now what's the condition here, Jesus? How do I get into that group? How do I get into that group of the people who get the inheritance? I mean, what must I do? Must I proclaim your name? Must I go to church? Must I light candles? Must I make the sign of the cross? Listen what it says. He says, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger. You invited me in. I needed clothing and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger invite you in, or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And then he goes on to say that the others did not. I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was in prison, you didn't visit me. And they'll say, when did we see you like this? Because of course, if we saw Jesus over there, you know, of course we're going to feed him. And he says, when you didn't do it for the least of my brothers and the least of my sisters, you didn't do it for me. Okay, now we're familiar with this. Like I said, it's the cornerstone of In His Shoes ministry. It's a beautiful quote. It talks about how important it is for us to function in our lives. Now, what the danger in literal interpretation is, people will say, here's a very literal interpretation, right? Now, Jesus is talking about a shepherd and the sheep and the goats. No, he's talking about people. A literal interpretation is, he's talking about sheep and goats, you know? Bah, those little animals, the goats coming around, you know? Billy goats. Interpretation, right? How about literal interpretation? When you did it for the least of my brothers. Okay, now let's have a discussion. Who are Jesus' brothers? Uh-huh. Okay, so Saint Mary must have had other children because Jesus says brothers and sisters. And so we get consumed with these details instead of focusing in on what is Jesus talking about. He's not talking about goats. He's not talking about sheep. He's not talking about brothers and sisters. He's talking about us interacting with one another, reaching out to one another, helping one another in times of need. That is the message of this story. And throughout the Bible, if you take it literally, what happens is you miss the point of the story. Sodom and Gomorrah is how many times do we hear the reflections about Sodom and Gomorrah, about this being this ultimate sin city? This is the sin city, you know? This is where homosexuality was taking place because men were laying down with men. Okay, we'll close our eyes that these big kings and Davids and Solomons, the multiple wives, the mistresses and all that, we close our eyes to all this, but we're going to focus in on Sodom and Gomorrah because this is where men laid with men. And we take this literal interpretation. And we don't open our eyes. In fact, Ezekiel, who is a prophet, do you know what he writes? I'm quoting from chapter 16, verse 49. And before I say this, I hate doing this. I hate pulling out these quotes, but I'm playing it the same way that people play the game with me. Ezekiel says, "Now this was the sin of your sister Sodom." Oh, you mean one of the prophets talks about Sodom and is now going to tell us what the sin is? Are you ready what the sin is? Ezekiel 16:49. "She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and the needy." What? Let me read that again. "This is the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her sister, her daughter, were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and the needy." There you go. Now, you can pull out all you want. You can make all these cases. Right now, homosexuals, they're targets. Right now, they're in the crosshairs. You know, a few years ago, it was something else. Several years ago, it was people of different color. I mean, you could justify anything. This is not what Christianity is about. It's certainly what Armadoxy is not about. And this is why I teach Armadoxy. And I'm telling you, this is the path. This is why you shouldn't be ashamed of putting Jesus Christ's name. And this is why people are ashamed of putting it. Because they have convoluted it. They have hijacked it. They've made it into this rules and regulations rather than looking at the very simple truth of Christ's messages about love. "Greater love has no man than this, to lay his life down for his brothers and sisters." You know who said that? Jesus Christ. You know who said, "There must be peace. I give you a peace, a lasting peace"? Jesus Christ said that. Do you know who said, "I have conquered this world and you can conquer it"? Jesus Christ said that. You know who said that there is life and life abundantly? Jesus Christ said that. Don't be scared of that. But we are scared because people have taken it. They've bastardized this faith that belongs to all of us. They brought it down to a few small little incidental commandments. Don't do this, don't do that. Well, Christianity is much more. It means you live in this life. It means you have problems. It means you are not perfect. It means that you will make mistakes in life. We all do. But at the end, you have a loving and compassionate Father who cares about you, who takes you in, who is your eternal Father. And that eternity is bigger than a few words. It's bigger than a few commandments. It's all-encompassing. It's holistic. I'm going to take a break right now. We'll play the song of the day. I'll be back right after that. Here's Zizernag by special request. Zizernag by Arax, and I'll have a link on our show notes so you could check out all of their great music. Zizernag means swallow. I always get these birds mixed up. There's the Gurung, there's the Zizernag, there's the Aragil, all kinds of beautiful winged creatures that are the focus of poems, poetry, of songs. This one, I hope you enjoyed. It comes from a long time ago, and a very special one. Last week, as we went off the air, I was pleasantly surprised when I got a tweet, and it was from our dear friend, Dr. Harry Hagopian, and he was tweeting us, and he's now on Stitcher Radio. So a big shout out to Dr. Hagopian. So happy that he's being heard on a different platform as well as the large platform that he has. He is somebody who is very dear to this ministry. He's a lawyer, and his degree is in public international law, and he consults with the Vatican and with a wide variety of ecumenical figures, and he's throughout the Middle East and Europe. And I will put a link on today's show notes to his blog. Do check him out, and do check him out on Stitcher Radio as well. Let me read you. It says, Dr. Hagopian's writings on behalf of different political church-related and non-governmental organizations on issues dealing with Jerusalem, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, the Middle East and North Africa region, Muslim-Christian relations, as well as on broader issues impacting either the wider ecumenical movement or Armenians. This is what his blog is about. The blog is called Epictasis.net. Epictasis, in case I mispronounced that, .net. And like I said, it'll be on today's show notes. But I'm so happy, and I'm very, very thankful to him for all that he does to get the message out and share it with people. And that's why I want to devote this second portion of the show to. You know, a few weeks ago I talked about the His Holiness Project, and the more I looked into it, I realized that throughout the years, how many people have been really engaged in ecumenical work. And the ecumenical movement, like I said, Dr. Hagopian being a part of that, it got me thinking in a different way, especially in terms of the His Holiness Project. As you know, we came out a couple weeks ago and suggested that, what if we can get this handful of His Holinesses? That if we can get them to talk. And specifically, I was thinking about His Holiness Pope Francis, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, and why not His Holiness Bartholomew of the Orthodox Church, and why not, especially if we can, His Holiness Karekin of the Armenian Church, because here you would have the tie with ancient Christianity, the elemental, the fundamental. And as I suggested this a few weeks ago, people have been writing in and have been sharing different websites and different experiments that have taken place in the past. And I realize it's not a handful of His Holinesses. There's quite a bit of His Holinesses. That degree has been given out to a lot of people. Of course, when I was thinking about it, we were thinking about in the small term of the big ones. And is it possible? Is it possible to attain peace? And really, isn't that the discussion that every religion should have? How do you bring about peace? Not how do you divide people, but how do you bring about peace? How do you start talking the talk? Now, here's a difficult one, because we know that politics are intertwined with religion. And by that I mean is that the ideas that we get from religion, namely peace, love, compassion, these ideas need a platform by which they can be integrated in the lives of the people. And when you talk about lives of the people, you talk about governance, right? And so definitely you have systems of governing and politics, the political ideologies. One will tell you that, you know, like this, all the wealth should be accumulated in one place and it should be distributed. Another one will tell you that, you know, wealth is your right. And so each person has a right to accumulate his own wealth and to decide how to use that wealth and so on and so on. There are different ideologies, and these are all in the world of politics. And you have to understand that one is dependent on the other. It's a sad reality, because when we talk about politics, just as when we talk about religion, people don't want these strong they don't want the network, so to speak, to be telling us what to think and how to think. But today, especially today in the world, in the globalized society we live in, people are basically saying, hey, listen, I can get the information that I want, and I have that right to process it any way that I want to. And certainly you do. But how do you bring about the utilitarian dream? How do you bring the most goodness to the most amount of people? And certainly there's going to be discussion and dialogue and debate about the means by which we do this. So when I talked about the His Holiness Project, I was trying to say, can we go beyond that? Can we talk about the very basic essence of how do we bring about peace? And these people who are the His Holinesses, these people who are at the top of the totem pole, so to speak, for world religions, can they talk about a message that transcends the politics? And I don't know if that's possible. Back in 1976, I was a young man back then, 20 years old, I wrote a small poem which I dug up, because as I was preparing for today's show, it just reminded me of this, and I dug up on my old notebooks, and I want to share this with you. It's called Universal Network. Oh, a young guy writing this, you know, it says, economics buys the Bible, which creates sin, which psychology tries to diminish. Physics creates a world run by politics that philosophy and art try to define. Biology makes the man who gathers, bringing to a focus these happenings. Wow. Don't laugh. I think that was pretty profound. In other words, back then, we were trying to connect the dots. It's all a universal network. And our only hope, really, is for all of these things to be working together. What maybe Albert Einstein tried to do in finding the unified field theory in physics is really beyond that. It's beyond this idea of just trying to find something that we could define our physical existence, but how about the entire existence of humanity? I mean, they are all interconnected. Yes, it takes an economy. You know, you need money to buy that Bible. And once you buy that Bible, you open it up and you find out, oh, there is a sin. There is things that are wrong, good and bad, right? And then you come to psychology, which tries to diminish that and say, hey, it's okay, you know, everything's fine. Physics, you start learning physics, and it's creating this world, which, what is that world? It's run by politics. And philosophy and art try to define that world. And then you come down to biology, this straight science out there, and talking about making the man, how man came about. And this man is really us. Who are we? What are we doing here? We're trying to bring in focus all of these happenings. How that physics, how that philosophy, how that psychology, how that economy, how that religion all fit together. This is the ultimate connection of the dots. And really, it behooves us, if we're really going to be talking about some of the big issues of peace, is figuring out how all these pieces are interconnected. They are not just islands in themselves, but they are interconnected. And they come down to what we talk about as humanity. This is what all people have done. I think that since the beginning of time, since that first caveman was standing there at his cave, looking out at the horizon, and then seeing this lightning bolt strike a tree, and that tree went into flames, and wondering, what was that came out of the sky? What was that? Is there somebody up there that sent down this fire that is now heating me up? And when that cow walks into that fire, and then you smell burnt beef, and you say, ah, that smells good, let's taste it. I mean, you know, this is how it all began. And somewhere along the way, we started saying that, okay, there is something beyond a man up there in those clouds that sent down that fire. No, that fire is created because these clouds somehow met with one another. But I do know that there is something beyond that cloud. I know that there is something beyond my imagination. That I am finite. When the first person died, and you see that person die, and you realize that, hey, wait a minute, it's not like that cow that died. It's not like that elephant that just fell over. But this is somebody that I felt toward. I felt compassion towards. I had feelings of love. And so all of these things come into play. And so now, how do we juggle all those things? Well, this is where philosophy, this is where religion, this is where our being is at. And so what we're proposing with the His Holiness Project is to get on a higher plane and really start talking about the fundamental issues that are common to all of us. Basically, we all want peace. How do you get that peace? Well, you can't have that peace if people are dying of starvation, dying of war. Okay, so how do you diminish those wars? How do you feed the people? How do you make sure that people have clean drinking water so that they could basically survive? And now when you have that survival, you have these overpopulated areas. And how do you get that overpopulation to start talking about controlling the population without, you know, without violence, without the ultimate control of population, something known as genocide? Yeah, it all comes together. And really, this is the fundamental quest that we're all on. Today, what I wanted to do in this second portion is really throw out these ideas, because we're in an experiment, so to speak. We're taking the fundamentals. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came and he brought with him this incredible message of love, of compassion. And we see within the life of Christ, there is this underlying peace, a peace that each of us can touch in our own lives. And we try to find that. We try to find little bits and pieces of that in our own lives and then try to reflect it on the bigger issue of humanity. And in that reflection, we start coming up with our own cosmology of how the cosmos, how the world, how the universe functions. I'm throwing it out there. I usually don't do this. I don't usually play another piece. I usually play one song. I'm going to play a small little piece, a little medley right here from a man named Torkom Saridarian. He was a teacher I've shared with you in the past. He was a teacher of mine, and he's taught the world a lot of things. He struggled with these ideas of how to bring it all together. He was a genocide survivor. Just want to play a small little piece as we exit. I'll be back in a couple minutes. Torkom Saridarian. I've shared with you stories about him in the past. Just wanted to play a little bit of his music because I think our spirits are talking today. And in that little music, I know at least I was connected to him. Here's Susie to connect us all together.
Susie here again. Before continuing with this broadcast, I wish to take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners, for your prayers, kind expressions, and donations. You make this podcast possible. Your listenership and support has allowed us to grow and expand our ministry around the globe. The Next Step has given us the opportunity to touch many lives and create lasting friendships. For this, we are immensely grateful. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. We would love to be able to continue this ministry for as long as there is a need. To do so, we must be able to cover our expenses. Things like hosting, server space, software, and equipment are an essential component and ongoing need for getting this message out. So, we look forward to your continued support. Thank you, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez. Thank you.
You know, as the week unfolds between Thursdays and Thursdays, between my recording days, there are just so many topics that come up. And I get emails from listeners who want this or that question answered. And I'm sometimes hesitant on them because I know I've answered them in the past. I don't want to keep repeating these same things because I know we have a listener base that, you know, has been around for a long time. Certainly a few years, if not since the beginning of time. And so I don't want to keep repeating these stories. This morning I started off with a little rant about our necessity to get down to the meat, the crux of what it's all about. And Jesus certainly, in no uncertain terms, comes out to say he is about peace and he is this loving and compassionate God. Unfortunately, what we do is we set up our own boundaries and our own limitations. And along with those emails, I get so many requests for these limited responses, like tell us about child baptism, tell us about baptism, you know, why is baptism? We've heard, and this is an interesting thing, we've heard that we have to get baptized. Very few people know what it's about. Some people want to attribute it to the original sin idea, that we have this original sin, that somehow we're born carrying this original sin. And these ideas are nice. They are akin to, you know, how many angels are on top of the head of a pin. And you know that's a standard theological argument, because we say that angels don't have any form. They are spiritual beings. They are not physical beings. So therefore, on the top of a pin, a small little area, how many angels can you put on there? Well, basically an infinite number. If they don't have any physical form, there isn't anything you can put on there, right? But people will argue this, and well, you know, the angels are this and that and everything. All of these things point us to the faith. These are not what faith is all about. These are angels are just basically messengers. Do you get messages? I get messages all the time, and messages come to me in very clear, concise manner. Last night we were on this hike and just walking up this mountain that you know is a creation of God, looking at a sunset and letting your mind go down below the horizon with that sun and realizing that there are other portions of the planet that are now being heated. And where is that portion of the planet? What's going on that planet? I mean, your mind can wander and wander, and it's just so beautiful when you realize that everything is really talking to us, that the angels, that messenger is all around us. And if we just take a little bit of time to look around, you know, give yourself that time to look around, to open your ears, to open your heart, you understand that things do talk to you. And the only person that is setting up limits, those blinders, it's us. We're putting it on ourselves. There's no reason to put those blinders. It is a beautiful world that does talk to us. And if we can all understand that, imagine the harmony in which we can live. But again, we keep putting up these boundaries. This is what I believe. This is what you believe. This is what it's about. This person is more powerful than your person. And it's like when you were a kid, right? The bully comes up to you and you say, well, I can't beat you up, but my brother can beat you up. Well, my brother's bigger than your brother. Well, then my father's bigger than your father, and so on and so on and so on. Well, it translates into faith issues as well, right? My God is bigger than your God. My God can overpower your God. My God can beat up your God. Hey, you know, this is what it comes down to, really. We are putting our understanding in terms of God. And so people, this is really one of the reasons why people shy away from religion too. Instead of some divine or something outside of us talking to us, we talk to the divine and we describe the divine. And sometimes I wonder, you know, what is that first word of scripture? It says, in the beginning, God created men. In his image did he create them. Male and female did he create them. And I wonder, are we saying maybe, I hate to say it this way, but this is what it sounds like. What we have in the world right now, in the beginning, man created God. In his image, did he create God? Think about it for a moment. Think about it. We are creating God. We, in our, with our limited capacity, we are trying to express something that is beyond limits, beyond explanation. And there's a big danger in that. There is a big, big danger in that. We cannot do that. You have to let loose. You have to understand that God is bigger. And that's really at the beginning and where our faith is. I mean, we try to define what in his shoes is. In his shoes is a very simple principle of walking in the shoes of others. It's what I suggested earlier in today's show. Jesus saying, you know, you have to help the needy. Well, how do you help the needy? You have a respect for the needy. You put your feet in their shoes and you understand that there is pain over there. And so you reach out to them with food. You visit them in their time of loneliness. You tend to their wounds because you now understand what that pain is. It's that Armenian expression, Tzavadanim. Let me take your pain. Let me understand your pain. Because I understand it when I put my feet in your shoes. And then Apostle, of course, comes out of that, because Apostle is really the voice of in his shoes. It's the electronic ministry. It is electronic apostle, apostolic evangelism for an electronic world. And all of these things come together, and I've been trying to put it all together for several years now, and it's slowly coming around, and hopefully it's making its impact out there. But with that, I do want to thank you. Thank you for being on board with us, for sharing this time with us, and sharing your love, your appreciation for this ministry. Please do keep us in your prayers. Do connect with us on Facebook. All of us have accounts over there. In his shoes has an account. Join that account and follow us on Twitter. And I want to do a big shout out once again for our dear friend Harry Hagopian, who's now on Stitcher Radio as well with his podcast. Do connect with all these people, because all these people are trying to get a message out, a simple message that there is something greater than ourselves. So, and as you're looking through our archives at In His Shoes, and you see that donate button, don't hesitate to press on it and send in your donation as well. I want to thank you for joining us today. It's been a great day. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. On behalf of our producer, Susie, Ken, our engineer, who should be back from vacation next week, this is Father Boskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off by one top minutes.